2 points in today's gospel reading. The first concerns Jesus himself, and the second, spiritual freedom. With respect to Jesus himself, I love this passage because it gives you an insight into the patience and the understanding and the love of Jesus. It really does. I mean, can you imagine? Here's Jesus, and he's just told them, you know, in this passion prediction, he's going to go up to Jerusalem. He's going to be condemned. He's going to, right? So this is, you know, before Peter's rebuking, right? And but he tells him, you know, all these terrible things are going to happen to him. And the mother of Zebedee's sons, you know, James and John, comes up after this declaration that would be absolutely so sorrowful and tragic. Excuse me, here are my two sons. You know, can you sit one at your right and the other? I mean, if it were me, I would have just, oh my gosh, this is your response to what I've just said. Worried about, you know, I mean, but of course Jesus does it, you know. He's kind of thinking, you know, and he kind of comes out with an interesting, you know, sort of, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink from, and so forth. You know, he come out with a question that's very kind of neutral, doesn't judge her at all, doesn't judge them at all, you know. He just says, can you do this? And of course, it's great. James and John come up for the next stage, you know, we can. You know, complete and abject ignorance of what they're saying, but filled with confidence, right? And of course, Jesus, you know, tells them, okay, from the cup I'm going to drink from, you're going to drink from too. But as for sitting in my right hand and my left, that's not up for me to give, but my Heavenly Father. And then, you know, the next stage of this thing, the other apostles are going, hey, wait a minute, you know. You know, those bums trying to get a sneak into first place here. What's the deal, you know? And of course, so got a riot erupting, you know. And of course, Jesus got the same kind of patience, the same kind of understanding. You know, he says, okay, you guys, come on, let's gather together here. You know, I'm just going to give you the fundamental lesson about following me. You know, the Gentiles, they've got their great ones, and they make their authority felt. Everybody knows who's boss, and believe me, if you didn't, you're gonna know. But it can't be like that with you. If you really want to be followers of mine, you're gonna find your real freedom. You're gonna find your real liberation. You're gonna find your real heaven by giving yourself away instead of getting power. You're going to find that you're really going to find yourself. You're going to find what life is really all about if you're a servant of people instead of, you know, being the boss. Now, of course, you could say, well, you know, I guess wouldn't the Pope have a little bit of conflict here? I'll say, you know, I mean, there it is. You're the head, and Jesus installed, you know, the Pope as the head. Right? But of course, the main thing is how is he the head? He's got to be the servant of all. So Jesus accounts for this, right? He says, the first among you will have to be the servant, the slave of everybody else. And boy, I'll tell you, we got a Pope right now who has that, I think, very much at the forefront of his heart. He is trying to be the servant of all. He's not trying to be the boss man. Occasionally, you know, you never know what can slip out when you're not, you know, in public and everything. But for all intents and purposes, we've got someone who's trying hard to follow that path of spiritual freedom that Jesus has made. Yes, it's not up to us to know what kinds of positions we're going to have, right? All of us are going to have various positions in this life. And by the way, most of those things, you know, God provides, right? God opens the doors that make these things possible. believe me, when I became president of Gonzaga University, I was scratching my head going, how exactly did this happen? You know, I wasn't totally aspiring to this at all, yet, you know, and you're kind of there. But if you acknowledge, okay, here it is, if this is what you want me to do, then we have to try and find that path of trying to be the servant of all. I wasn't altogether successful at doing that. And I wasn't altogether conscious of what I had to do to truly be that servant in imitation of the humility of Jesus. But I will say in the same breath, you do learn over the course of time if it's important to us to imitate him in his leadership, especially in his servant leadership. If that's important to us, it starts to get to us, and we start to let it get to us, and it starts to become part of who we are. And, you know, there is spiritual freedom that comes from that, because the moment we really want to be a servant, the moment we really do want, you know, to be someone who's going to be at the service of the church and the service of people, that we're looking toward their needs before our own, something funny happens. You really don't want the spotlight anymore. I mean, if you go to the spotlight, it's because God's kind of leading you there. It's not because I gotta have it. You know, it's because God's saying, all right, you don't want it, you go and get the spotlight. Ah, you know, it's always the opposite logic. But the point, of course, is the end of the day, you know, if we kind of keep that in mind, that message of sanity, and become leaders like Jesus, we not only get spiritual freedom, but here's the irony, everybody, we become better, more effective leaders. We become better, more effective leaders the minute we get our ego out of the equation. Amen.